Nation today, commemorating the 25th anniversary of the opening of the Green Bay Bureau of Wisconsin Public Radio. And we thought it would be appropriate to talk some about the past, the present, and the future of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Thursday, September the 1st. You are invited to join us on location at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. We are in Wood Hall. We are just outside the Wisconsin Public Radio studios on this 25th anniversary. 25 years ago today exactly, I was on the air as the regional host and reporter for the Green Bay region, for Northeast Wisconsin. And so I am happy to be back 25 years later. I also have with me my boss, Wisconsin Public Radio's director, Mike Crane. He's on location with us. He'll share some news with you about Wisconsin Public Radio. He'll answer any questions you have about what you hear or don't hear about on Wisconsin Public Radio, and respond to your feedback as well. So please join in during this special Thursday edition of Mondays with Mike by calling 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. You can also tweet us on Twitter at Joy Cardine Show, and you're welcome to join us here on location at UW Green Bay and join us from our audience here with a question. Just raise your hand and Cynthia Schuster will get a microphone to you. So we hope to hear from you this hour as we talk about Wisconsin Public Radio. And Mike Crane joins me here on location. Good morning, Mike.
It's always good to be on your show.
It's always nice to have you here. We were at a special dinner last night in Appleton. It was a listener's dinner, again, commemorating the 25th anniversary, not only of the Bureau for Northeast Wisconsin here in Green Bay, but the Bureau system in general around Wisconsin started up all about the same time, September 1st, 1986. And what was the whole point of having regional programming from different bureaus all over the state of Wisconsin?
Well, I think that one of the reasons that it really has made sense, I don't know if it was all of Jack Mitchell's point in setting it up, but what it has done is it has allowed Wisconsin Public Radio to have a sense not only of our state, but also a sense of each part of our state, because it's really different here, and people know that. And it's really different when you're in Eau Claire or Superior or something like that. And what it has done for Wisconsin Public Radio and its listeners is allowed the character and the news of all of those communities to get on the radio.
And we are going to be maybe not opening up a new bureau, but we are looking toward starting a new station in Northwest Wisconsin.
That's right. You know, the news of radio's demise is overreported. Radio is still growing, as a matter of fact. I mentioned that last night in my remarks. And WPR is growing. We have a brand new station. We actually do have a frequency that's broadcasting in the Shawamigan Bay area, but it's literally what they call a translator. It's 26 watts, so really less powerful than a light bulb. And it barely reaches people, and they try very hard and pick up the station. But the new station, which will be at 90.9 FM out of Ashland, is going to be 23,000 watts.
That's so a lot.
It's a lot more. And it means that people up in the islands and all around the region there will receive a great Ideas Network signal. And you're right, we aren't starting a bureau. However, we already have a really cordial and helpful relationship with Northland College. And some people that listen to WPR will remember the name Danielle Kading, who has been a reporter on WPR. Well, Danielle has followed her career star to actually being the station manager of the Northland College station, and she will be working with our Mike Simonson to see ways that we can connect when it has to do with the news, and also to provide news experiences for students at Northland College. So we're very excited about that.
Well, and I think it might be fun for listeners to know that some of the names you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio also started about 25 years ago. In fact, Dean Kallenbach is here on location in Green Bay. 25 years ago. Today, he was broadcasting regional news and information from our bureau in western Wisconsin, which at that time was located in Menominee.
Now at UW Stout, yeah.
Yeah, and now it's in Eau Claire. Now Dean Kallenbach is our senior regional manager and our regional manager based in our Eau Claire area. And we also, Ellen Clark, who is the fairly new regional manager for the Green Bay stations, also started, maybe not 25 years ago, but she started in our Central Wisconsin Bureau as the regional host reporter in Central Wisconsin. So you hire us when we're young teens, Mike, and we hang around for a while.
Yeah. Well, it's remarkable. There are people who have worked at Wisconsin Public Radio for their entire working life, and I think that's testament to a number of things. One is their dedication and their belief in the mission. I think it's the feedback that they get from listeners that what they're doing is really important. And fortunately, it's a pretty good place to work, and that really makes a difference. People really do care for each other.
Yeah, Aaron Davison was our original bureau host in Stevens Point at the time, 25 years ago, and now television viewers in the Green Bay market will recognize Aaron by face and by name. She is at WFRV-TV in Green Bay, and she just walked in on location here at UW Green Bay. So thank you for coming, Aaron. Good to see you again. And am I missing anybody? We had a lot of reunions last night, yeah, in terms of staff.
Well, the thing I've discovered, because I've actually only been at Wisconsin Public Radio for coming on 4 years, but what I've discovered is that Wisconsin Public Radio has been the starting point for a tremendous number of careers, commercial broadcasting and also non-commercial. There are people throughout the country I talk to who can tell me, good and bad, the stories of working at Wisconsin Public Radio at some point in their career, and just a remarkable record of developing talent and helping public radio. And one of the things we talked about last night is that actually before he was at Wisconsin Public Radio, the man that arguably founded the modern version of this system, Jack Mitchell, was the first producer on All Things Considered.
And the first voice you heard during the first episode of All Things Considered doing the news. So, yeah, I thought that was a lot of fun. Well, we are reminiscing here, but we're also welcoming your questions and comments about what you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio, about issues facing public radio, the service that you use. We welcome them at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can raise your hand here in our studio audience on location if you have a question. We'd love to hear from you. And, Mike, I started in commercial radio and commercial television before coming to public radio. And public radio, to me, this was a dream come true. This was a dream job because you could tell a story in depth. It wasn't going to be a little one-minute story at most. And you didn't need, for example, on television, you didn't need visuals necessarily to tell this story. You told it with words and with your voice. And it really was a dream come true being able to work at Wisconsin Public Radio and do longer news reports first. Now, what a thrill to be able to do in-depth talk shows on issues of importance, issues that are, state issues, national issues, international issues. Sometimes they're really serious political issues. Sometimes they're fun. Like we talked about zucchini the other day. Where else can you do that?
We have too much also. Yeah,
yeah, that's right. So we're having a lot of fun doing this, and people are participating. We love that, and. You say public radio, the audience is growing, and I have to think that has something to do with it, that we're able to really tell a story in depth and that we really get to the heart of matters.
Well, and I was thinking as you were talking about longer stories, that one of the discoveries a lot of commercial broadcasters make when they become public broadcasters is that it's not only that a story is longer, but it's also more in depth. So the natural instinct might be to say, well, I don't have to do a soundbite anymore, 5 seconds of thing. I could do 10 or 15 seconds or even more of a quote from someone. But then their news editor is going to say, go get a second source, go get a third source, so that there's real depth to a story. And I think that that's something listeners perceive, that they constantly walk away from a radio listening experience with public radio saying, I know more, I've learned something, and that's very valuable to the folks that listen.
Why do you suppose, though, NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio in particular have seen, are seeing record audiences right now?
Well, I think one reason is that the kind of broadcasting that we're doing, and it's not only broadcasting, the audience is growing on the internet as well, both for streaming and also for the articles that are posted and so on. I think that people are really struggling to understand a very complex world. And I think of folks like the, you know, once in a while we'll hear the reporters on our newscast here on the Ideas Network from the Planet Money organization. It's a, like a reporting unit within NPR that digs into economic issues in a way that makes you feel like, oh, so that's what a credit default swap is. It had seemed completely obscure to me until the folks from This American Life, who also work with the Planet Money team, explained something like that to me.
We heard from listeners last night as well who were very grateful for the coverage of state issues that they received over this past year, and you know, the budget repair bill, the collective bargaining issue, the protests, and they thanked us for that coverage because they weren't getting it necessarily everywhere, and they were seeking out the information. So doing state issues or local issues is also important in this day and age.
Well, that's right, and we're here on the Ideas Network. There's also the News and Classical Network. One of the things that I think has turned out to be incredibly important for public radio and its place within our community is the opportunity to have a thoughtful discussion about very difficult issues that, you know, we all know our state has been deeply polarized. And one place that people can come to have that reasonable conversation, because there are thoughtful, well-educated hosts and incredibly thoughtful guests from all sides of stories, they come on the radio and can expect to have that conversation. When, I'm sure people will agree with this, a lot of times we can't have those conversations in our personal life anymore, that families have been divided by these issues and friendships have fallen apart. But on public radio, you can still have that conversation. There's a very famous quote. It's on the wall of Bascom Hall at the UW in Madison that's about, it's actually in that case about this, the Board of Regents talking about what the academic pursuit was. But I think it applies to what we're trying to do in seeking the truth on public radio. We don't have the truth, but we seek it. And the statement talks about the sifting and winnowing by which we will discover the truth. And that's what we do on public radio. And in the case of the Ideas Network, we're doing it with listeners every single day.
And we invite you, dear listener, to join us at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email at talk@wpr.org. Okay, Mike, well, I guess enough reminiscing.
Yeah.
Let's talk
a
little bit. Yeah, let's talk a little bit about what's happening right now at Wisconsin Public Radio. Any special projects or programming that listeners can look forward to?
Absolutely. Very close to now in the schedule coming up on 9/11, we're going to have a day on both networks where reminisce isn't the right word, but remember is probably a better word. That 9/11 was a day that changed millions of lives. And so we'll have some live coverage from around the country, including a live Talk of the Nation on Sunday, which is a little bit different. And also some of the memorial ceremonies and so on will be broadcast live. And then on the News and Classical Network, after some of that on Weekend Edition, we will have music throughout the rest of the afternoon that is meant to provide comfort on what will be a difficult day for some people. And so I'm really pleased that we're doing that and participating with people throughout the country that are marking that day. On a more lighter note, one of the things that I've been really excited about in the last year or so, and really starting to get it rolling now, is a series that's called Wisconsin Life. And there's a website, by the way, wisconsinlife.org, that compiles what this is. It's a typically 3 or 4 minute long story that is something about what it's like to live in Wisconsin. I think my favorite one of all was author Mike Perry, who's just a really funny guy. And he built this contraption to skin a deer. And it has ratchets, and it just the sound of it alone makes you go, whoa. So some of it's fun like that. We had a remarkable commentary on the other network just yesterday about the rocks of Lake Superior and how when you get to know them, there's actually lots and lots of stories that those rocks tell.
I really enjoy Wisconsin Life. Yeah, about a 3 minute story or so on something very special about Wisconsin life, and we're going to start. We have been carrying those also on the Ideas Network on my show on Friday mornings at 6:30.
Well, we get to tell you where to go. Yeah,
yeah, that's right. I have we call it Tell Joy Where to Go, and we. On purpose, we did that on purpose. Yeah. We thought it'd be catchy, and I get to go to places like Green Bay, and it's fun to be here on the UW Green Bay campus, broadcasting on location, commemorating the 25th anniversary of the opening of the Green Bay Bureau of Wisconsin Public Radio, and we will get to your calls at 1-800-642-1234 or emails talk@wpr.org after we take a short pause. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, along with Wisconsin Public Radio's director, Mike Crane, who is on location with us at UW Green Bay, talking with us about Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the time, once a month, Mike joins us to talk about what's new with public radio and this service, to answer your questions, to respond to your feedback, and we welcome them all things Wisconsin Public Radio, discussed this hour. And, Mike, we do have some calls, and let me go first to Kathy in Jefferson County. Hello, Kathy. You're on the air.
Hi. Good morning. I so appreciate, Joy, your show. It keeps me company every morning, and I love it. And we're sustaining members. I have been for years. Thank you so much for all you do. The question I have is, and you guys are in a better position because you have a couple of stations, but I heard that Obama is addressing the nation on Wednesday at 8 o'clock when the debate for the Republicans is going on. I think I heard that this morning, early in the morning. And I was wondering, how do you decide what you're going to carry, the president or president wannabes?
There's actually a couple of interesting developments with that story. One is that the president has actually accepted the counteroffer from Congressman Boehner to speak the following night. But what that means is that that's competition with the Packers game. So that's going to be interesting to see. In the previous hour, there was some discussion about whether the president might choose to move the date after all. Certainly, his audience in Wisconsin would be very low. The other thing is that, as I understand it, unless it's changed, Joy, MSNBC was not going to be providing any rights for broadcasters to carry that particular debate live. So you'd hear it reported on in the news, and we might talk about it the following morning.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll have a follow-up show the next morning, on Thursday morning, probably in our 7 o'clock hour, talking about what was discussed during the GOP candidate debate. If President Obama does speak on Thursday night, as is believed today, we would carry that, I'm sure, on the Ideas Network.
Well, we won't be carrying the Packers game.
Yeah,
so.
right. Yeah. It's interesting that our political science guest in the last hour thought that maybe that might be changed again. So stay tuned. But if there is the address on Thursday night, Wisconsin Public Radio, the Ideas Network, typically would carry that, and we'll follow up the next morning, again, usually in our 7 o'clock hour.
And it's to the point of the question, too, though. It's surprising it's not very common that we would run into a conflict between two very major mm-hmm. issues. And when that does happen, you try to staff up enough to move back and forth if you can, and try to cover two very important stories, the president and the Packers.
And back to the debate, Mike, it's true that not every debate that might be on cable television is available to Wisconsin Public Radio to broadcast.
That's right. And the other thing is that it's a very, very long election season. And so we'll be trying to figure out very actively, and listeners will help us, how much is enough, how much is too much, not enough, in terms of how many debates we broadcast. And we know that as we get to the heat of the election season, we'll do more and more. And we have a longstanding practice of inviting people who are running for office here in the state to be on the radio, either on our local call-in shows where we have those, or on our statewide shows.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting year next year and leading up to it. Anything else new, Mike, for Wisconsin Public Radio besides the new station and Wisconsin Life?
Well, I think that I don't know that it's new, but I'm pleased to talk about it, and that is that we are very focused on trying to be a part of the community that we're in all of our regions. And we talked earlier about what can the regional bureau system do. This is another thing it can do. There are just amazing things going on in the arts and literacy programs and all kinds of things that we get involved in our local communities. And one of the things we have is we have kind of a big megaphone in the form of the radio. And so we try to partner with arts organizations to let people know about the exciting things going on. And I know right now we're partnering with the Token Creek Music Festival, which is near DeForest. And we have events at the Museum of Wisconsin Art in West Bend that we'll be participating in through September 4th. And then September 7th through November 6th, and also sponsoring the Waukesha Art Festival in downtown Waukesha, September 10th. And those are just a couple of quick examples, but you'll hear those announcements on the radio all the time because we want to be part of the community, and a lot of the things that we'll work with have to do with music because we want people to connect with folk music, for instance, from Simply Folk or whatever, in a physical place. It's great to hear it on the radio, but there's still something even more special in some ways to being there with the musicians and being able to see what they do as well as hear it. And so we try to do a lot of that.
To the best of our knowledge, website has been the focus of a lot of work over the past many months. I understand that the new and improved TT Book website is up and running and getting lots of hits.
Yeah, it's ttbook.org if you'd like to take a look at it. And it's brand new other than that it's still based on our award-winning show. And just statistically what we found, we relaunched it in July. And in that very first month, there was a 210% increase in usage of the site, even though we really hadn't talked about it or anything. We're just getting to the point of being ready to promote it, and already the web traffic is way up. And the essential difference, it looks really great and so on, but the essential differences are these. It used to be that you had a lot of difficulty finding a feature you wanted to listen to, and now each of the features is separated. So if you want to hear that incredible interview with Norman Mailer, you can search for Norman Mailer. You find the two or three interviews we had with him, and you can listen right away. That used to be very hard on the old site. And the other thing is that the site gives us an opportunity that a weekly show that's prepared usually weeks in advance doesn't have, which is to respond directly to the news. So let's say that there's a famous person who's in the news and we happen to have one of the best interviews that was ever done with that person. Well, then we can highlight that at ttbook.org.
What will the web and, for that matter, social media and technology, what's this going to mean for the future of public radio? Is public radio as we know it going to be changing?
Yes, mm-hmm. Of course it is. We've always changed. In fact, we're somewhere close to celebrating 100 years of doing public radio in Wisconsin. It's actually because records weren't really that detailed at the beginning. We don't know exactly what we could call the first day. But it's somewhere in the range of now that we're at 100 years. But the most important part of that, to me, what's so inspiring is that that's 100 years of innovation, 100 years of change, that we aren't doing Let's Sing and Let's Draw and Journeys in Music Land anymore. They were great for their time, but now we're doing the Joy Cardine Show and the Larry Mueller Show and Morning Edition and All Things Considered. What we're seeing in public radio now is the development of programs that start on the web in some cases. Earlier I mentioned Planet Money. Once in a while that's a feature on the NPR News or something like that. But it's a podcast, and that's where it started. And it has a great following, and it's actually between a 10 and 20-minute podcast that's really interesting to listen to. And I think we'll see more and more of that, where the web offers the opportunity to develop new programs without the risk of putting it on a radio station where failure costs a lot, if you will. And so we'll be doing some more of that. The other thing is, I think in a lot of cases, that's going to be the place where people listen. My son doesn't own any radios except for the one in his car, and that's because it's my car that I gave him. Yet he tells me regularly about listening to Car Talk and This American Life, and he's a big fan, but it's listened to on his iPod. Yeah.
Have we not just started offering almost all of our Ideas Network shows and other public radio shows are produced through doing iPods?
That's right. People have been asking for this forever, and not just iPods. Mm-hmm. It could be anything that can use a podcast. And we added a significant number of Ideas Network shows, and we're busy clicking through everything that we have the rights to podcast so that we can, in fact, offer all 3 hours of your show every day as something people could download as a subscription, because that's the difference with podcasting. You could go and listen online right now, either live or the recording of the earlier hours will be up on the web very soon. But the subscription part is really nice in a podcast. You just set it and forget it until you're ready to listen.
We have an email from Robert, who says, I'm an avid listener of yours and other Ideas Network programs. Thank you, Robert. I listen online because I live about 30 miles east of Marquette, Michigan. Will your new signal reach the central part of the UP? We travel much on the weekends and would love to hear broadcasting in our car.
I feel obligated to say, oh, no.
No, no.
unfortunately, no. There is a fair amount of public radio in the north. There are some Minnesota public radio signals that are in the UP, as well as some Michigan public radio, like from the Marquette station, that are there. So the best I can do in that case is to encourage you to find those stations once you're up that far. We do have a possibility of a station that would be licensed to Niagara, but we haven't gotten any news about that, and it would be very expensive for us to actually construct it, so we're not sure how that would happen. In the absence of some, there's a federal funding program that's gone away that would have helped us to construct that station if we received the construction permit. So we're not sure what's going to happen there.
Oh, I'm so excited to hear,
Robert,
that there's the possibility of far northeast Wisconsin coverage for Wisconsin Public Radio, though. But that's not looking promising, that Niagara station?
There are two things going on. One is that there were some competing applications. We don't know what the status is there. And the other is that while we survived the federal budget cuts of public broadcasting this last round with the main funding, that's the funding that helps stations to do what they do day in and day out, that was preserved. One thing that was taken away was a program that has helped public radio to build networks throughout the country. It was the Public Telecommunications Facilities Program. And in fact, we were one of the last recipients of those grants for the station that we're building that's licensed to Ashland, and that provided a 75% federal grant. So that was a $340,000 project. We're raising locally $85,000. That's the local match. But that program's gone now. We'll have that money, but with it being gone and the station's a full-power station might cost anywhere from $200 to $1 million, depending on whether you need to put up a tower and those sorts of things. So we're in a different world with that federal funding gone, and we haven't figured out what we might do in those cases.
And that federal funding's gone. What about future federal funding for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, especially with this heated debate over, you know, the debt and deficit?
That's right. People probably know that we survived the last round intact, that there were some attempts to cut the Corporation for Public Broadcasting out, and that didn't happen. We were very relieved. But we're on guard because the super committee that's been talked about, that's being formed by Congress, is going to have this unbelievable job trying to decide what's in and what's out. And our fear is that the very small amount of money, when you look at the federal budget, very small amount of money, that is going to public broadcasting could just be a single line crossed out, oops, it's gone. And we're very worried about that. So very busy talking to legislators to try to make sure that doesn't happen. It's on a terms of a dollar for dollar basis, it's like a dollar and a quarter or somewhere around there per American that goes to public broadcasting in that appropriation. But it has been an attractive thing for some people to talk about either cutting or not cutting in the federal debate.
And how big a blow did Wisconsin Public Radio take in the state budget that started in July?
A blow that we could manage. What I would say is that the cuts that we received both on the university side of our partnership and the state agency side were such that we'd expected them, we planned for them, and for instance, we did things like leaving job positions unfilled so that we wouldn't then be laying someone off if the cut came through, and that has worked out. So we're okay. The net effect of it was hundreds of thousands of dollars cut, but we've been very careful and good stewards of money and have had a tremendous year in terms of member support, both on public television and public radio, that has made us stay okay. And we feel we're doing our share to deal with the budget deficits that the state had.
Speaking of membership, a pledge drive coming up in October?
A pledge drive coming up.
An October pledge drive is coming up.
That's right. And we typically do about three different pledge campaigns a year on the air. The October one is always our biggest one. These days, it's about $1 million, maybe a little bit more, that we try to raise each October. And this one is something that we think listeners will be very excited about. For a number of years now, we've been focused on the idea of having more programming and less on-air fundraising because we know that it's at least something people love to hate. It's not something they just love to hear a lot of. So this particular campaign is, we're calling it All the Money in Half the Time. So we're going to try to shorten the pledge drive to half as many days. And typically it's been 10 or 12 days. We're going to try to get it down to about half that. And that means you'll hear messages about it very soon, because part of what happens is to reduce those 5 and 10 minute, we call them pitches, to a more manageable number, you need people to respond to the 15 or 20 second messages ahead of time, saying it's coming and can you respond now, and that makes a big difference.
Well, I'm looking forward to that too, Mike. That's half
the time. I won't
be
interrupting your show as much. That's right.
Well, we have time for your call in just a moment. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can post on Facebook, the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, and you can tweet us on Twitter at Joy Cardine Show. And we have a shy on-location audience. If you have a question, you can also raise your hand, and Cynthia Schuster will bring a microphone over to you, try to get you on the air, as we are talking all things Wisconsin Public Radio with Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, here on location at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, along with Wisconsin Public Radio's director, Mike Crane, on location at UW Green Bay. We are here commemorating the 25th anniversary of the opening of the Green Bay Bureau of Wisconsin Public Radio, and we are talking about the past, present, and future of this public radio service, and we welcome your input. We do have some callers online, and I will get to you in just a moment. You can still join us at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our next caller is Ed in La Crosse. Hello, Ed. You're on the air.
Hi. Fox News, like NPR, claim they don't discriminate in hiring. Of course, Fox News only hires conservative, and NPR hires only liberals, creating a disparate impact, and it's statistically impossible after 25 years not to hire a conservative host. How will you correct that situation?
Ed, what if I would tell you that personally I have very ultra-conservative political views?
You do?
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, you're one of the more fair ones. Like Kathleen Dunn, she will laugh and laugh at jokes about Republican hair. I need a conservative laugh and laugh at Joe Biden's hair.
And I was just, I was teasing in that I wanted to know what you think that Wisconsin Public Radio or NPR ought to specifically look for a conservative host because you want that host to express conservative viewpoints?
Just to tweak, like Kathleen Dunn, of course, is super liberal and has the slant towards the left. I would just like to see some slant to conservative issues at times. Being fair, of course. We don't want to be fair and have both sides. I just like to see both sides. And I don't think NPR is doing a good job of that.
Didn't mean to give you a hard time there, Ed. And again, I usually, most hosts try not to openly express any political opinions. We certainly might state our views on zucchini, I don't think any of our hosts here are standing on a soapbox saying, vote for so and so.
No, I think that's right, but we're not looking when we look for hosts or producers or anything for any particular political viewpoint. I think that would be a mistake for us. What we're looking for is people who are inquisitive, who are willing to question their own assumptions, as well as the assumptions of the guests and the callers and so on. And do we always hit the mark? No, we're human beings. But our goal is not to be liberal radio or conservative radio. It's to be thoughtful radio, radio that produces a dialogue. And I'd say probably a common view in public radio is that there aren't just two sides to a story. There are typically many sides to a story, and that's what we're trying to tease out. That's the sifting and winnowing that I mentioned earlier. Thanks, Ed.
Yeah, thanks very much, Ed, for the call. We are we're running short on time, and we should take some other callers. I think we have somebody in the audience who has a question as well. Maybe say your first name, and what's your question?
My name is Kumar. I'm a faculty at UW Green Bay right here. The previous caller actually stole my thunder, if you will. There is a perception among some people, I suppose the listeners of public radio, that the guests tend to be on the liberal side in general. So how do we combat, if you will, or dispel that particular view held by some people that public radio, NPR, and of course WPR, are leaning toward more on the liberal side of the political spectrum as well as on the social issues? How do we, within the WPR, handling that particular concern?
Well, my experience, Kumar, in having those conversations one-on-one is whether it's liberal or conservative, that I'm not going to convince anyone of changing their opinion about it. That just as we talk with Ed from his view, I have, and I know Ed won't believe this, or folks like Ed won't, but I regularly have conversations too with people who say, you're just too conservative, why won't you have fill-in-the-blank liberal guest or liberal view? And the closest I can get to helping with that perception is to try to look at the facts, and the facts as, facts are open to interpretation. I would imagine as a professor, that's deeply built into how you do your studies is that we're always trying to figure out what the truth is. One thing that certainly is true is that on the spectrum of the major national broadcasters, and that's where we have some statistics to look at, while it's true that there's a perception of NPR being liberal, some of the other networks and major newspapers and so on actually fall far more liberal in the spectrum in terms of their subjects and the guests that they have, the topics, and so on. And it doesn't surprise me, working inside of a public station, we tend to be closer to the middle. But people will perceive what they'll perceive.
I know that we certainly keep on keeping on in terms of inviting guests who have different viewpoints, a wide variety of viewpoints, but certainly try to balance out a progressive viewpoint with more conservative viewpoints. We invite Governor Walker to be on the air, and he is on the air. And we will promote the fact that Governor Walker is coming on the air. We had Frank Lissay on in our last half hour. We invite the Republican candidates who are, facing an election or running for office to join us whenever that happens. So I guess we do all we can to make sure that we are at least putting out the invitations to the other side and to try to combat that perception. I know on my show we do this big question debate every Wednesday between 7 and 8 where it's always two different sides debating an issue. We have the Friday Week in Review where we have two different sides or two different perspectives talking about the news of the week. So program after program, we're certainly trying to provide that that diversity and that balance, but that perception still is out there.
Well, one thing I will say in terms of things that we look for in hiring is that we look for producers and hosts who are self-critical, that they not only question the assumptions of the people that they work with, but they question their own assumptions. They think, have I done a good enough job? What could I have done better? Mm-hmm. Joy, I know, and this is true of the other shows too, after every show, you all sit down and the first thing you're talking about is how did it go today? Mm-hmm. And then start working on the next day and try to make it better each time.
Right, exactly. And sometimes what other voice haven't we heard in this debate and try to go after that too. Well, we have other callers too, so let's go to our next caller. Jean in Eau Claire is our next caller. Yes?
Hello. I'm calling because I have the opposite point of view as the person who thought you were too much on the left. I feel sometimes that you're too much on the right. So,
you found me out, Jean.
I don't know if you're overcompensating to the right or how that goes, but, sometimes I think definitely it's too far to the right.
You have us gobstopped. I love that word. The reason is that, Jean, this is actually a fairly common experience. Many of my colleagues that are managers in public radio have this experience of receiving an email with Ed's point of view, followed almost in time immediately by an email from your point of view on it. And I know of at least one who sent the emails to the other people. So, Gene, if you had sent the email to me, then I might forward it to Ed. And Ed, if you had sent the email, I'd forward it to Gene, because there really is that diversity of understanding of what we're doing.
Thank you very much, Gene. And please, if you have suggestions, comments, we always are welcoming them on my show and other shows. You can go to WPR.org. There's a place for listener feedback and comments and program suggestions. If you're not hearing something you want to be hearing, let us know. Suggest a guest, suggest a topic. We try to follow through on as many of those as we can. 1-800-642-1234. If you have a question, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, or tweet us on Twitter at Joy Cardine Show. And I believe we do have another listener in the audience, and I believe this listener is someone I know. Janine is my sister. Hi, Janine.
Hi. I was asked to be brief, Joy, and you know that can't happen. But anyway, because it is related to that, the contradictory things that were just mentioned. One person would say, you're liberal, the other will say you're conservative. So I've recently moved back to this part of the state, and my generalization of being back in the Fox Valley and being raised here is it's a more conservative part of the state. And I would love to hear more local programming right out of Green Bay that might, in a way, you know, my generalization is they would balance that perception. Because, again, I'm stereotypically saying this is a conservative part of the state. I want to hear my conservative point of view right here. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, different political makeups of the different parts of the state. Yeah. It is a very polarized state politically, though, Mike. Look what's going on.
Yeah, it was fascinating to look at the maps that showed where, for the recalls, where there were strong Democratic feelings, strong Republican feelings, and you would see broad swaths of that. You know, there's the whole northwest corner of the state leans Democratic, but you just go a few miles east into the Northwoods and it leans Republican, and the division seemed to be quite strong. And it does make a challenge for covering it, and one of the reasons that we try to use the bureau system is to reflect that diversity of viewpoints. And we certainly we have the ambition to do more in terms of local programming. And it's, as with every organization, it's a matter of resources and people. But we do try.
Do we have programming in our different regions that is unique to the region? For example, in Green Bay, we do have some programming. There's Spanish language programming and
Jazz Odyssey, The Blue Side, and Hmong Public Radio, and Galiwose. And At the Edge. I don't want to forget that. Those are produced locally here in Green Bay. There's Route 51 that is in our Wausau region, and the West Side, which is over in the West Side, and Eau Claire, and so on, that there are local programs of some kind in each of our regions, with the notable exception of Madison, actually. As it turns out, historically, because Madison's kind of the mothership of Wisconsin Public Radio, it hasn't had something that's generated out of that bureau separately. It may not be obvious to listeners most of the time, unless I know Kathleen mentions that she's in Milwaukee. Kathleen and Ben produce their network-wide shows each day out of Milwaukee.
We only have a minute or so to go, Mike. In that last minute, what are you looking forward to in Wisconsin Public Radio's future?
I am looking forward to continued growth in service, to becoming more deeply connected with our communities. A lot of public radio stations over the last 20 years sort of forgot that they're also in a community. And that's changed in the last 5 to 10. And so one of the things that I personally look forward to as the director is I'm already having the opportunity to do like I'm doing today, to get around the state and to meet listeners in their place. And I can't tell you how wonderful that is. I was in Madeline Island for a fundraiser for this new station, and we sent out invitations. We had about 40 people say they'd come. 69 came. And it was really hard to start the part where you ask for the money, because everyone was having such a great time talking and getting to know their neighbors and so on. And it was just wonderful to be a part of that, and to know that with our foibles, with the things that we could do better, that the listeners of WPR really love to have it in their community.
Yeah, thank you so much, Mike, for being here. Thanks to all of you for being here on location at Green Bay. This has been a lot of fun. I really appreciate you showing up. Thanks to Ellen Clark and Scott Clark from our Green Bay Regional Bureau. Thanks to Dick Maddows, our on-site engineer, and in Madison, Bill Martins, Rob Ferret, and Amanda Magnus. Thanks to everyone. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.